Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 27. Let's get saucy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that helps aspiring home cooks grow their skills and confidence in the kitchen so they can start cooking up memories with family and friends. Got a lot of stuff going on in this show. This show, I am introducing another new segment, which is going to come after the main portion towards the end. But today we're going to be doing three things. I've got an Into the Pantry segment I'm going to start out with. And then I invited my friend Chris over with his family, and we had some fun experimenting with some barbecue sauces. And we're going to talk about that. And then at the end, I'm introducing a new segment where I go and I talk about some resources or a blog or something like that that pertains to the topic of the show that you might find interesting and helpful. And I do kind of a quick mini review on it. So I also want to say that, you know, for anything I talk about in this show, if there was a link or a recipe or something like that, you can find the show notes with that information at kitchencounterpodcast.com/27. All right, so without further ado, why don't we get on to our first segment, Into the Pantry. Today, I'm talking about molasses. Now, molasses isn't something that a lot of folks have sitting around in your pantry, unless maybe you do a lot of baking. But I wanted to bring it up today because in the next segment where we talk about barbecue sauces, you know, a couple of the sauces that we made use molasses. So the question came up at some point during the day, you know, just what in the heck is molasses anyway? So here we go. So molasses is actually a byproduct of the sugar refining process. So the way you make sugar from sugar cane is you take that sugar cane, you mash it up, you extract the juice from it, and then to get the sugar out of it, you boil that juice. So the syrup that's left over from that boiling process is molasses. Now, you can boil that juice several times to get all of the sugar out of it, typically like three times. And every time you boil it, it produces a different grade of molasses. So after the first boil of sugarcane juice, you end up with a very light and sweet molasses. In fact, sometimes it's not called molasses at all, but it's called cane syrup. A second boiling will produce a slightly darker and more bitter molasses. In some cases, folks call that full flavor or regular molasses. And a third boiling will produce what is known, at least in the United States, as blackstrap molasses, because it's very dark, almost black, and quite bitter. Now, for a home cook, I think it's generally best to go with neither the really light molasses or the blackstrap molasses. So maybe stick in the middle because you're going to get the most variety of uses out of that bottle of molasses. There's a popular brand in the United States of molasses called Brer Rabbit brand, and they have three varieties that are readily available. One is the mild flavor, one is full flavor, and one is blackstrap. So again, shoot for the full flavor in the middle. It's great to have a bottle of that in your pantry if you're making barbecue sauce or you're making ginger snap cookies or whatever, you know, baking that you need kind of that rich, sugary, dark flavor. Stick with the full flavor or kind of the middle, you know, the Goldilocks molasses, the not too light, not too dark, and you'll be all set. All right, so as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I invited my friend Chris over. He brought his kid over and his wife came along, and he had cooked up a couple of batches of barbecue sauce, and I did the same, and we got together and did kind of a little barbecue taste test, and it was a lot of fun. And I originally had even recorded the group of us sitting around trying out the different barbecue sauces and kind of getting our reactions, you know, our instant reactions and things like that. But it was funny because our kids, which we each have one kid, so there were a grand total of two kids, were playing in the background. And apparently I've become so accustomed to it that I didn't really hear it at the time. But when I went back and I listened to the recording, they were causing such a commotion in the background. You could hardly understand what we were saying in the recording, which is funny. Like I said, at the time, I didn't even notice it. So it was like a riot in the background. So I couldn't end up using any of those clips. And if you're careful and you listen closely in this next segment where I talk with Chris, you'll hear a few times where you can hear the kids in the background getting a little bit rambunctious. But it was a lot of fun, and we tried out a grand total of 4 homemade barbecue sauces. So sit back and take a listen as my friend Chris and I talk barbecue sauces. I have a special guest with me today. My friend Chris came over to help me with my barbecue sauce episode. Hey, Chris.
Hey, everyone.
So thanks for coming over. So we actually, the family is outside of our studio.
Causing havoc.
You can probably hear the children playing together. They're driving tractors along the wall, so you'll probably hear that. And at some point, one of our kids will barge in to find out what we're doing. So we were walking the walk here. We were having fun. We were eating food, cooking. But the point of getting together today is I asked Chris if he wanted to come on the show, and we kind of brainstormed some ideas on what to talk about, and we came up with the idea. Well, we originally kind of wanted to do like a barbecue thing. But to narrow it down, I thought maybe we should do sauces. Because that barbecue season is coming up, what, Memorial Day is in a couple of weeks, well, a month maybe.
There are sunbreaks so often now.
Actually, it's been really nice. So, and there are people that barbecue all year round. If you're in Phoenix, you're probably barbecuing at Christmas. So we thought, let's do a show on sauces. So what we decided to do, and I think maybe we'll talk about store-bought sauces a little bit too, just our impressions and stuff. But what we decided to do is we each made a couple of sauces at home. You made a couple and brought them over to my house. I made a couple of sauces. So we kind of had, and our wives helped us taste test. So we kind of did a little sauce experiment. And it was really fun. So what do you think? Did you have fun? Did you have fun making sauces? You had a comment about it.
Well, you know, I had been considering starting a barbecue sauce making thing for a while now. But it just seemed too difficult. And I was like, wow, you know, I just buy it at the store and find some good stuff, and this just seems too hard. But after doing this, I'm not sure if I'm going to buy barbecue sauce again. I mean, it was really not that bad. I mean, it was the most complicated one I did was, it was 30 minutes on the stove, and that was just stirring.
And it makes a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have a couple of jars worth that, and it lasts a while. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was quite pleased, and it's almost foolproof, really.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to screw it up.
Yeah. And mix, boil.
Yeah, I mean, you have directions. Now, it can be tricky if you need to use a lot of spices, and if you don't have a lot of spices, that can be an investment if you have to go out. That's hard for people, I think, that don't have a lot of spices at home. And, you know, some of these, like one I did had like 10 spices. I think you made one that had a lot. And it's like, if you don't have cumin and you don't have nutmeg and you don't have, you know, if you don't have all those, you have to go out and buy them, and that can be expensive. But there's barbecue sauces where you don't need all that stuff.
Yeah, well, and I mean, if you like to cook, most of the spices you're going to use for this are spices that you're going to want to have anyways.
Exactly.
I mean, I had to buy chili powder because I was out of chili powder. I want to have chili powder regardless. So it's not like this was incurring a cost that I wasn't going to later anyways.
Yeah, we didn't make anything ridiculously exotic.
No, no.
Unless you consider Alabama exotic, but we'll get to that.
I'd call it exotic.
In a minute.
I've only been to Alabama once, though.
Okay, well. So let's talk about store-bought sauces for a minute, because kind of to your point where you say you don't know that you would buy store-bought sauces. So way back, I don't know, maybe it was episode 3 I did, I talked about ribs. And at the time, I basically said, and I've made sauces before, and I basically said in this episode, look, you don't have to bother making a sauce. It's great if you do, but you don't really have to, because there's a lot of store-bought sauces out there that are just fine, and they're a few bucks and you're good to go, which I think is still true. I think that's true. But I guess after doing this today and thinking back, I thought, oh boy, I hope I really didn't mislead people, because you're right. Barbecue sauces aren't that hard to make. They really are light years better than the stuff you buy in the store for the most part, at least the cheap stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some really gourmet boutique sauces you can buy that are really good, but then you're spending $7 or $8.
I'm less impressed with supermarket sauces pretty much across the board. I find that when you buy supermarket sauces, pretty much every time it's, let's compensate for lack of quality with lots of sugar.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't do it for me. So I end up spending way too much money on a small amount of sauce, and so it ends up becoming a costly affair just to buy the sauce, let alone, you know, be able to make it, versus, you know, the cost not being a lot different.
Yeah.
Or if you're not saving money, probably.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So we decided to make some sauces, and we stuck with USA, United States sauces, I guess you could say, varieties. So there's a lot of, I guess you could say, world or international barbecue sauces that we didn't go there. We strictly went for, I guess, barbecue sauces that you would typically, that I guess you would typically find in the United States.
Maybe you have some future show ideas here.
Yes, we'll have to do an international barbecue sauce show, maybe for part two. But why don't we talk a little bit, and I'm no barbecue sauce expert, by the way. I love barbecue and I love barbecue sauces. But I think when most people think, at least where we're from, when most people think barbecue sauce, I know what I think of. I think of, I guess the store equivalent would be like a Casey Masterpiece. Kind of that ketchupy based, molasses, smoky flavored, tangy, dark colored barbecue sauce. It's like the barbecue sauce you get at the fast food restaurant when you ask for dipping sauce, right? That kind of a sauce.
Yep. And what I love to death.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like maybe it's KC style or Memphis style, those sorts of things. So you made two that I would say kind of belong somewhat to that category.
Yeah, and from anyone in the South, I'm sure there's going to be some disagreements, but I had found some places where one of them might be referred to as a Memphis style. I don't know how accurate that is because I can't say I'm an expert in Southern cooking, but the other one I would say is definitely more of a Midwest classic barbecue sauce.
So what did you make?
Well, the first one I made was called a Badass Barbecue Sauce. It's just looking around, found a gentleman on YouTube who made this, and it looked interesting. What first drew me in with it is it looked a little bit more to it than some of the other stuff that I found. I wouldn't say it was hard, but there was quite a few spices in there, and it finished off with some Jim Beam, and I thought, well, shot of Jim Beam, whole bunch of different spices, you know, I'll give it a chance. And I got to say, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm keeping this recipe. It might just become a staple of my house.
Yeah, it was really good. And that's like that type of barbecue sauce, like we just described, kind of that deep, rich, tangy, tomatoey. I mean, that's your standard. If you have that on hand, you're ready to go for pretty much anything.
Yeah, and as we found when we started putting it on food, I thought, what is good about that type of sauce is that it can go on so many different types of food. I mean, if you're not big into pork or if you're not big into beef, it goes on chicken. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried it on some shrimp and it was good with that.
You could just drink it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Out of a cup. I could. It was good.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I thought it was good. It was a very complex flavor, I thought, and that's with all the spices that you got in there. I mean, there were quite a few spices in there, and you know, it was and it came out in the flavor. But on meat, it really kind of tamed it out, and I thought it was really good.
And we'll put links to a link to that YouTube video and the recipes and stuff in the show notes, which would be at kitchencounterpodcast.com/27. Okay, so the first one you made was the Badass Barbecue Sauce.
Yep.
And so the second one you made.
Well, I am really partial to Bonesuckin' Sauce, which is a brand of barbecue sauce that I found. A friend of mine is really, he's kind of the, he looks at barbecue sauce like fine wine. I mean, I'm sure he goes to taste tests and this is his thing.
Wow.
Yeah, he's quite into it.
Why did I have you on the show? No, I'm kidding.
So he's quite into the barbecue sauce. He's introduced me to this at a cookout that he did, and I loved it. I thought it was just really, really great. And this is the one that would be what I would guess would be more of a Memphis style. I'm sure people are cringing when they hear me say that, but because I liked it so much, I wanted to find a recipe that kind of approximated that flavor a bit. And so this one that I cooked was the easiest by far. There were a handful of ingredients. The instructions are literally put them in a pot, heat it to boil, let boil for 20 minutes.
Now, on both of these, correct me if I'm wrong, was the main ingredient ketchup?
Yeah.
So the base of both of them was ketchup. So that...
Yeah. There's also a good amount of brown sugar.
Right.
in the first one. The second one, not as much.
But I mean, like ketchup-based sure. as opposed to like a mustard base or a whatever else base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's the sugar is clearly a very significant portion of the what's going on here. I mean, there was, I think, two cups of brown sugar and three cups of ketchup. So it was pretty good proportion of it was brown sugar on the first one.
Yeah.
But the second one definitely, it was ketchup in large degree. I wasn't as fond of the molasses flavor that came through on this one. So, you know, if anyone's going to make their own barbecue sauce, I would be wary about how much molasses you put in it because it has a really overpowering flavor that can really kind of trump others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's kind of with cooking in general, is that you have to be careful about certain flavors that you're going to mm-hmm. add that you throw it in and it can take over. You know, like when I use zest, mm-hmm. I will usually use about half the amount of zest as you call for in a recipe. And it's the same thing right. with what I'm finding with molasses.
I think honey is the same way too, actually. I think honey can be overpowering in a barbecue sauce or a sauce. It can get a little cloying or something. Like it's just too sweet.
Yeah.
So I agree. And those are the types of things, you know, you can add in after
mm-hmm.
you've cooked it and you've tasted it. And if you think it needs more molasses, you can put another dollop of molasses in there
sure.
or honey or whatever. Yeah. So I thought those were two really good sauces. And like you said, probably relatively easy to make and pretty standard. And I don't mean standard in a bad way. I just mean like standard, like that's what you think of when you think of barbecue sauce.
At there's a reason things become standard.
Exactly. Exactly.
You, of course, didn't want to just go standard.
Well, you told me what you were going to make, so I didn't – because I have a barbecue sauce that I call a sweet and smoky barbecue sauce, which would have been very similar to what you made. So I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go totally off a different track. So I made a blueberry barbecue sauce for one, and then for the other one, I made an Alabama white barbecue sauce.
Which blew my mind when you showed it to me.
I did not know
– what to think when I saw white barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I heard about that a long time ago. I can't remember from where. And it always kind of stuck in the back of my mind because, you know, like there's regional variations of barbecue. So you've got like the Kansas City barbecue sauce, which is in Memphis, which is kind of what we've talked about. You know, you've got like in North Carolina, they make like a real vinegary barbecue sauce because they serve a lot of pork and it's not like what we think of barbecue sauce. It's like a vinegar sauce. And then in Alabama, at least I think Northern Alabama, they have this white barbecue sauce. And it's kind of a misnomer because it's not barbecue sauce. There's no tomato in it. There's no molasses in it. There's no sugar in it. I mean, it's not barbecue sauce I'd think of. So what it is basically is mayonnaise, white wine vinegar, and there's some coarse ground mustard, black pepper, some garlic, there's some other things like that in there, salt, some other spices, and you just mix it up. There's not even any cooking involved, so you mix it up, and I think you or somebody made the comment, it's almost like a Caesar dressing, but it's like at a really creamy, tangy,
mm-hmm.
it's got a little bit of a bite to it.
It was better than I thought it would be. I got to say, it's funny how you have expectations for things,
mm-hmm.
and when you tell me barbecue sauce, and then you show it to me, and it's white, I had the hardest time getting over that. Just looking at it, it just looked wrong to me. I mean, someone in Alabama just was, they were trying out some new stuff here, and they went with it. And I got to say, putting it on the chicken was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was excellent on chicken.
Mm-hmm.
We made chicken, we made some pork baby back ribs, we made some shrimp.
We had an agreement that burgers would probably be really good for it.
Yeah, we didn't make any beef today, but yeah, I think it would be really great on burgers. But for whatever reason, it wasn't good on the pork mm-hmm. to us just because all you could taste was the sauce. But you're right, I wouldn't, you know, I think the only reason it's called barbecue sauce is because when somebody invented it, they put it on barbecued meat.
Right.
Right. I mean, it really, which I guess is how all barbecue sauce probably
right.
came about, but it just, it's not, to me, it's almost more like a kind of an elevated salad dressing. And again, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Right.
But it's really good.
And it did have a salad dressing taste to it.
It's a little too much to be on a salad, I think. But
yeah, yeah. It would be. Well, I had commented that I thought that if you were to grill up some steak for a grilled steak salad and then put some of that on there,
yeah,
it would go well with the leafy greens.
So white Alabama white barbecue sauce, totally different. If you ever want to throw anybody for a loop when your barbecue party, whip some of that up. It literally took 5 minutes. I mean, there's really not that much to it, and there's no cooking, so it's really easy.
We just found out why you picked this one, I think.
Yeah, well, you know. Okay, so then the other one I made was a blueberry barbecue sauce, and I wanted to go different. I was going to make a vinegar Carolina sauce, but I opted against it because that would be really great for like a pulled pork. We weren't doing that. So I've made other fruit-type barbecue sauces in the past, and I found a recipe for a blueberry barbecue sauce, which basically I had frozen blueberries. I pureed them in the blender, and you throw them in a saucepan, and then you add in like chopped up onion, chopped celery, chopped carrots, some chopped bell pepper, just a little bit of ketchup, like a tablespoon, a little bit of molasses, like a tablespoon. I mean, not much of these other things that you would equate with like a Kansas City barbecue sauce. And then you cook it, and then you puree it again so it's smooth, so you get all the chunky vegetables to where it's just, you know, like a smooth sauce. It was pretty good.
I liked it. I think I liked it more than anyone else, which surprised me because when you told me blueberry barbecue sauce, I was not real enthused about this idea. I thought, it just sounded candy-like to me.
Yeah. And it wasn't as sweet as it could have been, I think.
No. And that's why I think I liked it is that, I mean, I had this expectation that it was just going to be not something I'd want to have on meat. And it was good. I was really pleased with it, actually. It was quite tasty. And I also thought for what we were doing here, I thought it worked out well because it was something that would fit right in a restaurant in the Pacific Northwest where we are.
That's true.
I mean,
that's a very good point. We're Berry Central up here.
Right. So, I mean, you could definitely see that at a restaurant around here. So it just regionally, it kind of fit that area that the other ones didn't.
And it was good. It was pretty decent on all the different meats. So I don't think I could eat a lot of it, but it was tasty.
Yeah, no, I agree. It wouldn't be something I'd want to have all the time, but just throw it in there to kind of change things up. I definitely would say it's a good one.
Now we have a confession to make that will probably, you've already said that people in the South would probably cringe. And I remember way back when I did that rib episode 3, I said, look, people in the Pacific Northwest, when we say barbecue, literally 90% of the time, we mean grilling.
Right.
Right. There's a difference. So people in the South, when they say barbecue, or in Texas, I mean, they have a completely different... Grilling to them is what we do. They throw something on a hot grill and they cook it. You get the grill marks. To them, barbecue is like low and slow, some smoke, right? It's probably different in every part of the country. But so my confession is, since it was raining here in Oregon today and I don't have a covered porch... We actually, everything we made, we cooked inside, but I've talked about ribs in the oven before. So we did that. We did some chicken inside and some shrimp in the oven. Mm-hmm. It turned out really good. But you brought a recipe, Chris, that you want to talk about chicken. And I think you have a mop sauce there, and we're going to put this in the show notes as well. So is this chicken that you make regularly? Oh, yeah. Or this is like your go-to? Now, is this like boneless, skinless chicken, or is this like whole chicken?
So when I barbecue chicken, I really like to barbecue half chickens. And when you if you're going to go with the whole chicken, by cutting it in half, removing the backbone, you're going to have less mass to cook, so it's faster. And you're going to get a larger surface area with the heat, and so it's going to speed up your cooking. And so I also find it's really nice for presentation because if I have a really good half chicken, I can just serve that straight up on a plate. And you know, people that are professionals at doing this, they'll tell you that, you know, the first thing you do when you eat, it's take it in with your eyes. So it's good to have it be pleasing looking. So I kind of think it's nice just to be able to have for presentation that way as well. So easier, and it is nice looking. So that's and it's really simple. Some kitchen shears or a really nice sharp knife, and you're in business.
So do you do two separate halves, or do you?
Yeah.
Have you ever spatchcocked it?
Which is basically
the same thing. You just leave it connected.
Right. Right. I don't spatchcock so much with barbecuing. It would be just as easy.
It's fun to say though.
Yeah, it is. It is very fun to say. I mean, it really kind of depends on how you're going to cook because if you're going to cook something, if you're going to barbecue something, you can either go indirect or direct heat. And if you're going to spatchcock something, it's a little bit harder to do indirect unless you have a really big grill. If you want to go indirect, which I really like indirect with the chicken, the halves are good to tuck around the side of my Weber, and so I can keep it out of the way of the direct heat pretty easily. So it works really well for that. So
makes sense.
This particular recipe is a direct heat. So in this case, spatchcocking would work just as well. I prefer just going halves, but this is a personal preference thing. Like I said, it's if you're cooking for two and you just want to have, you know, a bed of rice or something else to put it on, or next to some vegetables, it looks very nice to have a nice grill marks on a whole piece of untouched chicken after it's taken off the grill. It looks very nice.
And then what's your mop sauce? So what do you do with this? You mop the chicken, I guess.
So when you barbecue chicken on direct heat, you have to be careful with barbecue sauce, because as I had mentioned before, there's a lot of sugar in barbecue sauce. And if you get barbecue sauce too hot, you can actually caramelize the sugar and it will leave you a bitter taste.
You can burn it.
You're basically burning the sugar. So barbecue sauce should be put on at the very end if you're doing indirect. If you're doing direct. If you're doing indirect, then I like to layer on top the barbecue sauce as I cook. So
there's almost builds up like a lacquer.
Yeah.
So good.
Right. It's different styles. It really depends on what you want. I mean, you get kind of a more dramatic looking effect with the grill marks by doing it direct, which is cool. But you don't get the same buildup of barbecue sauce. So it's whatever floats your boat there. But the mop sauce is good if you're doing direct, because the mop sauce is there's vinegar in it, some pepper, some diced up onions and jalapenos, and it's going to infuse some flavor in it while you're cooking it. It's also going to help keep the moisture in the chicken as you're cooking it. What I do is, you know, you have your half chicken, so you're putting on the grill, put it on direct heat. You want those nice grill marks, so you're always going to want to cook it with the skin side down, and then just throw the mop sauce on, base it on there every few minutes for about 20 minutes.
And you leave it on direct heat the whole time?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're doing this at like medium temperature, so like 325, 350, and I do briquettes so on my Weber, so you know, you set it up for direct heat, and then once you get your temperature around there, which you can change with the ventilation, how much oxygen is going in there, then you just, you know, keep the mop sauce on, go for about 20 minutes, and at the last 5 minutes, flip it over and start putting your barbecue sauce on. Do a nice bit of barbecue sauce there in the beginning of that 5 minutes, and at the very end before you serve it, you're going to have some nice grill marks, you're going to have the barbecue on there, and always use your instant read thermometer before you serve chicken. I'm kind of
yes. We at the show are big advocates of that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit weird when it comes to poultry. I really believe strongly in checking the temperature.
Well, and the good news about cooking chicken with the bone in is that it's not going to dry out as easily either. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be more moist in general. It's going to take longer to cook,
right?
In some cases,
but we've removed the backbone, mm-hmm. So it's kind of counteracts that to some degree too. Yep. So
now, have you ever, now this is interesting, and again, I've done this when I've spatchcocked, and again, spatchcocking is where you just cut out the backbone and you kind of open up the chicken, so it's like you're opening it up like a book. It's kind of weird, but you just lay it flat on the grill like a chicken half. Mm-hmm. But I used to take, and I haven't done this for a long time, but I used to take you could take a brick, but I took like a paving stone, mm-hmm. and you wrap it in tin foil, and you put that chicken on the grill and you lay that on the chicken. And it like flattens the chicken out. Hmm. So it cooks super fast and you get these awesome grill marks. It's like it makes your whole chicken about half as thick. It's interesting.
I've not tried that. I rarely ever will bake or grill whole chickens without spatchcocking or
putting them in half,
cut them in half, because it's just so much more efficient to do it that way. I mean, you're going to, because I don't eat the backbone on my chicken. Maybe you do. I don't know. But I don't. So why am I going to take the time to cook it and have it added on to my cooking time?
I agree. So excellent. And we'll put this recipe on the show notes again. So if you want to get Chris's recipe for chicken and the mop sauce, we'll make that available.
Yeah. And one of the things I always like to think about when I'm cooking is trying to have a good drink to go with it.
Oh, did you bring a drink recipe?
I did. Well, not a drink recipe. I go to the store for that. I have considered brewing my own beer, but not yet. But what I do with something, depending on which one of these barbecue sauces that you're going to go with, it kind of just going to change what you're going to drink with it. But I like to, if I'm going to have something spicy, like the red sauces that I had made, I like to have a kind of a nice even keel beer to go with it. So something that's not going to compete for the flavors. And here in the Northwest, I'm a big fan of Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing. It's almost got a fruity aftertaste to it. Hmm. It's real smooth. When I say fruity, it's very mild. So this is not a daiquiri.
It's not like the blueberry barbecue sauce of beer, is what you're saying.
But it's very
good. I'm picking up on your subtle hints. It's
hey, you know, maybe subtlety is what it takes. So,
and what did we drink today? I guess we should shout out to the beer we drank today. We had Ninkasi Lux German Lager. It was actually really good. Oh, and you're having a leftover Laurelwood Brewing that I had in the fridge,
which is also quite good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, both of them are all these are a little bit on the lighter side of beer, which I think with barbecue is good because barbecue itself has so much flavor to it that if you're going to pair it with something that is that's going to compete with that, then it doesn't work.
And not only that, if you're barbecuing because it's nice weather outside, usually I like to have a lighter beer anyway when it's hot. It's just more refreshing in general.
Maybe that's why they invented Guinness in Ireland, because...
Probably so. All right, well, that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming over. And again, we will make they're not necessarily our recipes, but we'll make the recipes that we used for the barbecue taste off available on the website. Chris, thank you very much for joining me today. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for bringing over yummy barbecue sauce and food and drinking beer and having our families play together. That was super fun.
It doesn't take a lot of convincing to get me to eat food.
Good. Yeah, likewise. So that's why our family, that's why we get along so well. Well, that was a lot of barbecue sauce information to cover. And, you know, we only tried four different types of sauces, but there's hundreds upon hundreds probably of different types of barbecue sauces you can make. So again, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/27 to get to the show notes. You'll have links to the two sauces that Chris made and the two sauces that I made. It's a good way to impress your friends at your next barbecue gathering. So I promised at the beginning of the show that I was going to introduce one more segment today. This is a segment I haven't really done before, and I don't really have a catchy name for it yet. But the point of it is I want to take a moment to review a blog page or some sort of a resource that maybe you can find online that is going to be pertinent to the topic of the show today, which was barbecue and barbecue sauces, that you might find useful. So here we go. So for today's review segment, I'm going to be talking about a man who really needs no introduction in the world of barbecue, or at least barbecue writing, barbecue books, cookbooks, and things like that. And I'm talking about Steve Reichlin. So Steve's been around for decades doing barbecue things. He's writing books. He had a couple of series on PBS, which I think you can still find on PBS in some cases, or at least on YouTube. I think you can find most of the episodes. But he has a blog that he calls the Barbecue Bible Blog. It's at barbecuebible.com, and that's barbecue spelled out, so barbecuebible.com. If you're starting out on your barbecue journey, or you've been doing it for a long time and you haven't really found maybe a blog or a collection of recipes or cookbooks that you really like, you really, really, really owe it to yourself to head over to Steve's webpage, because it is an absolute wealth of information. There's tons of recipes. There's a lot of videos that go over techniques on different sorts of barbecue methods. There's sauce recipes like we talked about today. As a matter of fact, the blueberry barbecue sauce that we talked about in the last segment, I took that right out of one of Steve's cookbooks, the Barbecue Bible Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, which is a great book. I highly recommend it. But if you only had one web page for barbecue and barbecue-related information that you wanted to bookmark and refer to, I would make it barbecuebible.com because you're going to find everything you need there. Steve's a great barbecue ambassador. He's a great barbecue teacher. So head on over to barbecuebible.com, check it out, and let me know what you think. Well, that does it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I really appreciate you downloading and listening to the show. Once again, thank you so much. And I'd love to hear from you. If you try anything out in this episode that you found interesting and you wanted to give it a try, let me know. Send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I'd really, really love to hear from you. Or if you have a question or an idea for an upcoming show topic, shoot me an email. You know, you can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast or Twitter at TKC Podcast. And if you really want to help the show out, you know, you could do me a huge favor if you felt like going over to iTunes and leaving the show a rating or review. That really helps out a lot. And of course, you can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Player FM, and you can leave us reviews in those places as well. Well, until next time, I just want to say thanks again. This is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.